established territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
You got a friend in me, and you've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old pal said. Yeah, you've got a friend in me, baby, you've got a friend in me.
Welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks, the National Campus and Community Radio Association Networks, and of course our flagship's 2 hours, one-hour show and the half-hour show. One-hour show, of course, on CITR 101.9 FM, the half-hour show on Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. Both are on the same this week's show. For that matter, we do record this week's show only. Yes, I'm back. Kelly Rayburn here on the controls. Didn't miss much. How are you?
Good.
That's Michael Rubin there. So, I missed a lot of information. So, what was the best part of doing the show in August? What kind of show did you enjoyed the most?
I had pre-recorded two interviews.
Okay.
And I think Valerie Shepherd was probably the best one. She wrote a book about just learning to be happy within yourself. So,
okay.
Yeah. I think that, although last week, something really interesting happened. As you know, we also air on Fridays from out of CFRO
100.5. Yep.
And the show ahead of us was it Animal Voices? Is it Animal Voices? Two shows ahead of us.
Yeah, Animal
actually.
Voices, which is at noon. Yes.
Yeah. Well, they were having their meeting and. Mm-hmm. They actually quoted something that I have played on the show on last Thursday's show,
right?
Talking about diet and multiple sclerosis.
But that has nothing to do with vegan or anything.
It was actually a vegan diet.
Okay, so
yeah, it was a vegan diet, and it was just interesting to know that hey. Somebody from another show was actually listening in at the same
good.
Time.
That's good. That's like, good.
Because they were going to email into CITR to find out what it was and and I asked her. I said, "Well, tell me the time and everything what it was." And she said, "Thursday at 9 a.m." I was like,
"Right?
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about." And I actually gave her told her where to find the YouTube clip of Dr. McDougal, yeah.
Interesting.
Which nice. I didn't know. They educated me a little bit about Dr. McDougal and said that he's been a long time vegan, and I hadn't known that. I just knew that he made a lot of sense in talking about autoimmune deficiencies and our diet.
Right.
So, yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, while that was going on, I went over to Victoria to our best friend who doesn't normally listen to the show because it's one show, of course, it's on CFUV, which is University of Victoria, 101.9 FM over there. They have their 101.9 over there, but we don't get our show here in Vancouver, sadly. And Co-op Radio 100.5 is overlapping another radio station. It's a private radio station called The Q, CKKQ in Victoria, which is 100.3 FM. So big shout out to Peter Bourne, who is listening to us. He's listener supported. He likes to hear what we have to say about it on issues like bus pass programs, PWD, those kind of issues. Luckily enough, I do have some information on the crowd chance bus for the rally for bus pass program that was happened on September 1st. So here's the rally.
Okay.
So that was over in Victoria, the rally near the in front of the Ministry of Social Income Assistance and Development office down here in Victoria. So here's the rest of the clip from NDP MLA Carol James on the bus pass rally here in Victoria. Of course, this was all taped in Victoria on September 1st, thanks to Turtle's Nest of YouTube. Of course, if you were in that rally in Victoria, that was from the Turtle's Nest from YouTube. Sorry about the sound. Sound can be, can't get it really close, but you get the idea of what Carol James had talked about. And basically enough, on my PWD now, you get an additional $25. Once you have this bus pass, which, of course, this is the Compass card. It's red, of course, and the red means it's provincial-wide. Mm-hmm. I can take it anywhere in Victoria, Nanaimo, anywhere throughout the province with that bus pass. Basically, if you have that kind of a bus pass program, you've got money for $25 each month additional to your PWD.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, if you don't have the bus pass... If you don't have the bus pass thing, and if you have a persons with a disability transport assistant, then you get $54 per month, which is, I don't think it's pretty much fair for people that are riding the buses to have a $25 each month instead of the usual $54, which is a lot difference. And then, of course, they're now getting rid of the $45 annually.
Well,
that's the other part. They're getting rid of. Normally, we have to pay for it. We have to pay for $45 annually, but that's all going to change as of September, which was started September 1st. So.
That's good.
Your thoughts?
Well, I was surprised when I was talking to Kathy Brown. The visually impaired photographer, and she's a friend of mine. I guess there's different levels of bus pass service too.
Yes,
she said she's in a different program altogether. It actually reaches out nationwide, and it's because of blindness or something like that. Yeah,
that's all part of maybe CNIB.
Yeah, it has something to do with that.
Mm, okay.
So, she definitely, because I did ask her about the bus pass when I interviewed her, and while she agrees that, hey, you know what, the changes weren't exactly done in a fair way. Mm-hmm. She said she was hesitant to actually answer because she said that she's not really part of that system because because of blindness, it's a different level of bus pass. It's just some kind of national program or something like that through CNIB or something like that. Yeah,
right.
So
that's a different factor altogether.
Yeah, totally different factor, but. But I was definitely surprised. I thought maybe there was only one program, but I guess there's some different programs out there too.
Mm. It's interesting when I talked to Peter in Victoria. Originally, he did used to have PWD for provincials, but he doesn't have that anymore. Now he's older, you know, 65 years and older. He has benefits from the federal government part.
Mm-hmm.
So anything for him, I know his transportation's mostly taxi cabs, no longer involved in public transit, but it was interesting to listen to what he had to say about if he was involved in part of benefits, it would be, you know, very disappointing for him and his support workers as well, because it's the fact that and I know he doesn't deal with the provincial side of it, but even if he did, it would mean he would have to get the $54 per month on the benefits through income assistant transportation, not part of the bus pass program situation.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Now you did wanting to manage to have a guest today on the show, but didn't make it.
No, she didn't actually make it. It was Laura Guzman again was going to come back, and she's just back from Nicaragua with Operation Smile. Okay. And she wanted to give us an update on the adventures that happened in South America.
Mm.
She, as a lot of our listeners know, she was also involved in the Miss Universe pageant. She was going to be running to be Miss Canada and in the Miss Universe pageant,
right?
Which, you know, because I just knowing somebody who tried to do that to hear that they were in the top 10, even made it to the top 10. Congratulations to her on that. That was pretty awesome stuff. Mm. So, but it gave her enough to help the cause and everything that she was able to go down to Nicaragua and work with these kids and the doctors and all that kind of stuff. So, so she wanted to come back and give us some updates of that. I'm going to keep following up with her via Facebook.
Okay.
So, and hopefully we'll get her on the show sometime this month.
Interesting. So, yeah. I'd like to have a big shout out to also to the people who worked for the PNE. I was helping out some of the stuff that was over there at the PNE. Basically, they had about over 700,000 people there this year. So I was quite surprised. I thought there would be less people. But a lot of people did show up, mostly because of the Summer Nights concerts that was there. I know Culture Club was there doing their one night, and Olivia Newton-John, my mother, had a chance to see her. Yeah. So she got a chance to see Olivia Newton-John.
I know Pat Benatar was also there too.
Mm-hmm.
One of my heroes from my teenage years.
Mm-hmm. Final day was Chris Isaak doing his best of his songs.
Yeah.
Other than that, Mostly seasonal jobs. So it's, you know, it's a paid institutional job. So I had to, you know, do some seasonal jobs to raise some money. So,
well, whatever it takes to whatever keep things going, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know. So, while you were gone, I also managed to finish off the Just One More Step calendars, the commemoratory calendar for the walk across British Columbia.
Right.
So that's actually off the print, and people should try to get a hold of the Fibromyalgia Wellspring Foundation to order their calendars.
Interesting.
Yeah. They're going to come through at a reasonable price. When I get a hold of that price, I'll put the whole thing up. I'll put some of the sample photos and everything up on our Facebook page, along with the price that Cheryl Young decides is going to be.
All right. Well, I've got I have some news. You want to hear some bit of archive clips from Autism Speaks?
Sure.
Or autism stuff? All right.
Yeah, sure. Let's go with that.
Okay, we'll come right back in a moment. You're listening to the Community Living Show. We're going to take a break about 3 minutes early. So we will be back in a moment on the NCRA Radio Networks. Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of every year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting inclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adapted technology, and more. Contact your local stations to find out more.
Yeah, what's up, man? Hey, I'm on the guest list. Yeah. Who's headlining here tonight? Yeah, I'm on their list. I'm on their list. Oh, well, I should be on there, so...
Looking for that cool band Buzz?
Jeez, I don't know what to tell you.
Shindig is CITR's annual Battle of the Bands. Every year, Vancouver bands compete for prizes including studio time, festival spots, media coverage, promotions, and more. We are now accepting submissions. Please send your demo of original material of at least 3 songs to shindig.submissions@gmail.com. Contact info must include your email and phone number. All genres welcome. Join a 33-year-old legacy of great Vancouver music. For more info, find the CITR Shindig page on Facebook.
My name is David Scott. I play wide receiver for the University of British Columbia football team, and I'm here to discuss the Be More Than a Bystander program. Myself and a few other players were lucky enough to work alongside the BC Lions and EVA, the Ending Violence Association, to support this cause. The main goal of the Be More Than a Bystander initiative is to increase awareness of domestic violence against women. For more information on the cause, please visit endingviolence.org.
You're tuned in to the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. That is, of course, the National Campus and Community Radio Networks throughout British Columbia and throughout Canada. And, of course, you're listening to us on our flagship station, CITR 101.9 FM. And, of course, in about 10 more minutes on Co-op Radio, I'm Kelly. Of course, I'm back from my month-off holiday. It was very interesting going to Victoria. I wish I would have gone to Victoria in September with that rally or something like that, but I had to work. So we have a clip from Ask Dr. Doreen. Dr. Doreen is a psychiatrist who's headquartered in Woodland Hills in California, which offers throughout the United States and the globe. For more information on therapy for autism-related disorders, visit the CARD, C-A-R-D, website at www.centerforautism.com. This is, of course, as of September 17th. Seventh, sorry.
you're here on Wednesday mornings to donate an hour to talk to people and to answer questions. We do need to remind everybody at the start of the show that there is no expert that can answer individual specific questions. So if you're looking for a specific for your child or for yourself or somebody that you care about on the spectrum, that's not possible in this format. But when you write in with information and clues as to what's going on, what we get to do is pick Dr. Grandbuchet's brain for what kinds of things to be on the lookout for, what to do next, what she knows about that kind of behavior from other people that she's worked through. And that is invaluable. It's just absolutely
Well, we wild. Hope to be able to give some general guidance to people. I wish we had the opportunity or the possibility to help people in much more detail, but this is as much as we can do, and hopefully it provides some guidance.
But we're, in the next couple of weeks, going to be doing a show just on telehealth. Mm-hmm. And that's a really interesting field, because although in this format, no one can give individual specific advice, there is a burgeoning field of telehealth. And for so long, I know that when my family found CARD, what it meant to me. See, I'm gonna start to cry already today, this early in the morning. But I know what it meant to me, and I know all the prayers that it answered for me. And I've told you before that it answered so many prayers. And then my next prayer was, how does this get to everybody else?
Right.
And I had not met Dr. Grandbuchet at that point. And I didn't know that that was what was on your heart and your mind,
right.
That you were already figuring that out. I was worried and pacing the floor and didn't know that you were already figuring that out. And you've systematically chipped away at that. And giving people resources so that no matter where they are, and this new piece of telehealth, we're going to do a whole show about it in the coming weeks, about how amazing it, for those of you who've been watching in Afghanistan and places around the world where you just don't have access to the things that we have here, and we're trying to get more here, there's even more that can be done now. So I just
Absolutely.
Have to take a second to applaud you
for
thinking
you.
Of those kinds of things.
Fortunately, we had the same passion as you did for a long, long time. And how can you not, when you're in this field, just this 1 hour that you and I spend together, and we have so many people writing in with questions. And so fortunately, many years ago, we thought we have to get this information out to other people, and therefore we now have IBT, which provides all the training that you need to do this type of intervention, and of course Skills, which provides the contents, the curriculum that you need. And really, I think when I read, like today, the first question that we'll address, and I was just reviewing it a couple of minutes ago, when you look at families who are just overwhelmed with what they have on their plate, you always say air hugs, air hugs, but truly, I am just amazed at how some of our parents are handling life.
Yeah.
And so we're very, very passionate about trying to help you learn the techniques and implement. Take a breath so that you can actually learn for a second and implement these techniques, because they're incredibly helpful for every child. It does take a lot of energy.
It does. And I need to say, before we even get to this question, that there's never any judgment, right? We don't have judgment, because we are all aware of how much energy it takes.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But I have to say, and I try to send you guys air hugs as much as possible, and to tell you what a great job you're doing and how meaningful it is. But more and more, we get down to some tough love, too.
Yes.
Because sometimes you get so tired, and I know I have been in this circumstance where you get so tired that I do a talk called The Amazing Paralyzed Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I get too tired and I have to choose to do something, I can know what to do, but I'm paralyzed.
Right.
And I need for somebody in that moment to go, okay, you're paralyzed first, and now you need to do something because you're paralyzed.
Right.
And sometimes that's hard, and sometimes you get mad at the person, but I don't know about you, but I'm going to participate in a little tough love this morning.
I mean, we have to, we all need it. We all kind of need it once in a while. I mean, I'm going through a bunch of stuff with my 15-year-old who just had surgery, and there's so much, you get so overwhelmed with whatever it is you're dealing with that you get lazy about everything else. And I think that's kind of what happens because, you know, we all know as parents, life is all about kind of keeping everything under control, you know?
Yeah.
Keeping the diet, the activities, the whatever it is, and all under control. And it's hard when you read stories like this or emails like this. It's just very hard, especially when you have multiple children on the spectrum and you feel like there's no one helping me.
Yes.
And truthfully, this is a field. ASD is a field where you do have to take charge as a parent, much more so than anything else. You know, I mean, the stuff that I'm dealing with, there's a lot of physicians helping us with various things. With autism, you know, you can easily lose control, and you just do need to educate yourself as much as possible and stay in control of things as a parent.
And again, I want to say again, and I'll say it three more times, there's no judgment. No judgments whatsoever. But I always tell the story about that after we started ABA with CARD and my son was making so much improvement, a woman came up to me that I kind of knew and said to me, Shannon, it seems like Jem is doing so well. My son just got diagnosed. What should I do? And I kind of mamby-pambied it a little bit and said, well, you want to consider doing a good quality ABA program. Well, you want to consider this. You want to consider this. I didn't say, okay, today, as if your house was on fire, you need to call this number and you need to get started.
Right.
Because I didn't want to overwhelm her.
You felt bad, yes.
I felt bad. And so I said, well, this is what we did, and different people do different things, but you know, you want to consider this. And then 2 or 3 years later, she came back and ran into me in the grocery store, and her finger was out, and she pointed at me, and she yelled at me and said, I am so angry at you. And she said, because you knew what I needed to do, and you didn't kick me in the butt, and you didn't tell me you must do this. You made it sound like it was a choice.
Interesting.
And I had an out. And she said, and you knew, didn't you, that I needed to do it and that my whole life was going to depend on it. And of course, she was right. I did know that. But I had, I want to be gentle and whatever. I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Because I'm never going to have another mom come up to me in the grocery store and say, you knew and you didn't tell me. And you should have told me it was life and death. So we're going to couch that here. So this first question that got written in, and I love this mom. She says, hello, Dr. Doreen and Shannon. Thanks for all your advice. I love your show. You guys make my day every week. I've asked for advice in the past, and I feel like you know my kiddos already. I have 2 kids with ASD, however. My little one keeps us on his toes. He's a sweet boy and very smart, extremely hyper, and very defiant. He is language delayed and has a lot of articulation problems. We just got him reevaluated since the district was giving us a hard time on services, and he met the criteria again on the DSM for ASD and walked out with 3 other labels. He is very aggressive towards others and has explosive tantrums that can last up to an hour. Anything simple can set him off. He screams, kicks, punches anybody, throws anything at us or at random people when in public, destroys property, flips chairs, tables if he can lift it, says very rude things to us. He is a runner, and we have him on a harness when we are out on outings, which he pulls it very hard. When he is mad, he has no understanding of safety. He still is in a car seat since he throws tantrums in the car and removes his seatbelt while I drive. Due to his behaviors, the school couldn't handle him, so he was switched for the 3rd time, now going to a high-functioning autism program. His triggers can be routine changes. If we move, he doesn't get his way. Some other times, I can't even tell. I'm not even in a store. And not sure, I think, is what that is. I'm not even in a store for 10 minutes, and then he throws a tantrum. So being out with him is very difficult and not safe. That's what it is. We do time out when he displays aggressive behaviors like hitting, but he keeps getting out to hit us, to break things, and ends up removing all of his clothes and throws at us, which I have to stop what I'm doing to keep everyone safe. When he's finally calmed, he does say that he's sorry. He is not on ABA, just counseling behavior therapy once a week. I was asked to get him for a psychiatric assessment due to his aggressive behaviors since he had physically hurt his older sibling when mad, but I'm hesitating due to medications. Also, I'm nervous about it, and I feel maybe we haven't tried it all yet before we go that route. My other ASD kid is already on med changes and side effects have been a headache, and I don't want to repeat that story with a sad face. I'm so drained and I'm physically exhausted and I have no idea what else to do. Please, we need some advice. Thanks a bunch. And I wrote her back, and because I missed the little part about the ABI, I wrote her back and I said, I'm sending you a hug and I will ask Dr. Doreen to address this on Wednesday, but you don't say whether you're getting good quality ABA, which she actually did, and if you are, how many hours? And she wrote back and said, thanks so much, Shannon. He is not on ABA, just counseling behavior therapy once a week. It's like what you said last week on the program about the parent you came across who decided to wait on ABA because of how hectic it can be and time-consuming. That is me. I have two on the spectrum and a teenager who will be up for college next year, so it's been a crazy time for me, and I keep holding off on ABA. Looking forward to your shows this week.
Okay, so I see why you say we're going to have some tough love today.
We're going to have some tough love.
So the key piece of information I wish I had was the age of this child and the functioning level. I can't tell, but if he's in a high functioning class, he's most likely verbal.
So if you are watching in this moment, write in on the live feature and tell us that information.
Absolutely. But regardless, I think the most important thing you can do at this time is to actually get an ABA program going. In fact, you should probably be getting an ABA program going for both of your children. It will help both of them very significantly. With this level of challenging behavior, you should have no problem getting the program funded through your insurance, and also you should be easily able to get a very intensive program for your child, which means not 1 hour a week, but 40 hours a week. And if it might be hard for you to realize that that is the frequency of ABA that is required, but basically that means that your child will have perhaps an ABA therapist from the time he wakes up, get him ready if it's appropriate for him to even be in school at this point. See, when you get an ABA program involved with you, the quality ABA people will do a lot of evaluations and identify how much school is appropriate and what is the actual goal. So, you know, I think you're looking at life in a slightly different way than I would look at it. For me, it's always important for when I see a child to identify how far he can go. How far can I push him? How close to typical development can he get? I don't know that about your child. I don't know how much can he learn. I know one thing for sure, he can learn to get rid of all of these behaviors. I've talked about challenging behavior, but I'll quickly talk about it again here because I think it's really important. Challenging behavior is not a symptom of autism. Challenging behavior is just what we do when we have no other way to communicate. So challenging behavior is a way of communicating. You yourself wrote a lot of little keywords that indicate he's trying to communicate. For instance, you wrote, when he doesn't get his way, and you wrote, he'll do so many behaviors when he doesn't get his way. He'll do so many challenging things that I have to stop what I'm doing to keep everyone safe. That in itself is really clear that he is communicating with you and saying, I need you to stop what you're doing and come interact with me. If he had appropriate levels of language and if it was easier for him to use his language, instead of throwing tantrums, hitting people, etc., he would express what he wants. And most of the time for our kids, it's, I want an object, I want an activity, I don't want an object, I don't want to do an activity, I don't want to be in this store right now, or if I am in the store, I want this, this, and this. Or it's just everything he's doing is when he wants something or doesn't want something, and instead of actually expressing it verbally, he is acting out. And these behaviors can come under control very rapidly. It's just a matter of getting the message to him that the behavior is not going to have its expected effect. when you throw a tantrum, when you hit someone, you're not going to get what you want. Instead, you have to use some form of communication that's appropriate, verbal or nonverbal, and then we will give you in increments the things that you want. So this type of stuff comes under control when you have a good ABA program. But what's more important is that you need a lot of hours of ABA, because the reason he's doing these things instead of communicating is because he doesn't have the skill to communicate. So a really good ABA comprehensive program teaches him how to communicate, how to express himself in more appropriate ways. So, you know, you have a million different things going on here. You have elopement, you have aggression, you have safety issues, you have a lot of stuff going on. Please, wherever you are, get involved. Find the closest ABA provider, evaluate them, interview with them. What you're looking for is not someone who will come and say, I'll do a couple of hours of ABA a week. That's not the effective dose. What you're looking for is a very high quality, well-trained ABA provider who will say, your child needs a comprehensive, that's the word, not a focused program, a comprehensive ABA program, and I need to start out doing 30 to 40 hours of ABA per week. That means there's a therapist at your house. When your child wakes up, the therapist helps him learn how to get himself dressed, how to get ready, how to have breakfast. Then he goes off to school. If school is an appropriate setting, you have someone with him in school, a shadow or someone who is helping him through the activities. Then he has ongoing ABA when he comes home. And the ABA at home in the afternoons and evenings is working on everything from language to social behavior, safety, communication with others, friendships, relationships, academics. Depending on what age he is, an appropriate program will address all of his needs. And as Shannon said, there's nothing you can do that's more important than getting a comprehensive ABA program for him. Don't even look at medication or anything else right now. Remember, ABA is the single approved intervention for autism. It is the one thing that is approved and therefore is insurance funded. So you need to get him a program.
Yeah, and I want to say that that's going to be hard. Like, let's not candy coat it.
I mean,
that that's going to be hard.
Depending on where you are.
Well, but even, you know, there's a process that you have to go through.
Yes.
And even in the best of all, you know, the first thing I'm going to say is go to centerforautism.com and see how close you are to a card office. But even doing that, it's going to take a while to get started.
Yes.
And you're going to have to go through the skills assessment, and that's going to feel like, you know, like I want to start. You got me convinced I want to start, and I got to do all these steps. But each one of the steps is important and worth it. And you're going to have to just mentally, I mean, the thing that I said to somebody recently is, okay, I want a picture. Here's your house right now. And there's a whole bunch of things that aren't working. I want you to picture that we're going to tilt your whole house on its side.
Right.
And for a minute, it's going to be like, whoa, there's stuff in the air and
That's
I don't know where to grab onto and whatever. But once the dust all settles, you're going to be like, oh, stuff works.
That's right.
But you got to go through the tipping, right?
Right.
And it's going to be a transition. And I will hold your hand through it. And I will get you other parents to hold your hand through it. But this is not, you wrote in and said, please help. And I'm telling you, this is the help. Don't be the person that's like, okay, but I'm still waiting for what's the message. The message is your house is on fire. You must do this. And you got to get it started today. And you can't just get it started for the one. You need to get it started for both of them. Just get it over.
All right, so we'll leave it there for just a few moments. Oops, there we go. We'll just have it there for just a few moments, and we'll be back in just a moment or so. You're tuned into the Community Living Show. We are still here. Kelly Rayburn, Michael Roman is still here. So
yep, still here.
Yep, so we will be back in a moment and conclude the show. The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of every year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting inclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adapted technology, and more. Contact your local stations to find out more.
Hey, UBC, here's an internet deal just for students. Get TELUS Internet for just $30 per month for 12 months with no term contract plus a free gift. Find our TELUS reps on campus today from 8:30 to 4:30 p.m. at the L1 Nest Atrium to learn more. Conditions apply.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
You're tuned into the Community Living Show here on the NCRE Radio Networks, and we've only got about 20 more minutes left to our end of our show. Of course, we are on CITR Now, our flagship station, and of course on our NCRE Radio Networks for the full hour show. Mm-hmm. So we will continue on with Ask Dr. Doreen. Before we do you have any thoughts about what they mentioned on to the show?
Well, that's you hear this out of a lot of people and say, oh, I want help.
Yes.
But then they hesitate at the answer.
Of course.
It's like, okay, I gave you your answer. Now it's time. I can't. If you're the person offering where help can be found through like our show or somebody else's show.
Mm-hmm.
We can't drop you off there and make you do it.
No.
You actually have to take the next step and take action. And she's absolutely right. It's like, while you know, you can put a lot of urgency to it and tell them, it's like, this is like your next best step.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, go do it. It's up to you to go do it.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
Yeah.
Here's the conclusion of Ask Dr. Doreen. Of course, Autism Live is a production of the Center for Autism and Related Disorders, which is known as CARD, headquartered in Woodland Hills, California. For more information on the therapy, you can go to the website www.centerforautism.com. Now here's the conclusion.
And Shannon, I love you. We love you back. Dr. D, my son gets ABA 29 hours a week per school per school calendar, and half that in the summer all through the school district. Should I be asking for full time all summer? He has been in the program for a year and a half, and we are hoping someday to transition him back to the school district when he graduates the program. Now he is almost 8 and in the second grade, she put in quotation marks. So I guess where I'm not clear is he at a center or for those 29 hours during the school year?
Yeah, I mean, the school district could be funding therapy that's occurring at school, which is not usually as high quality as what would happen at home or at a center, just because there's so many distractions. And then, yeah, it's just not clear who's providing it, et cetera. Regardless, the answer is still the same. The recommendation for hours has to be individualized. I don't know how he's doing. I don't know what his needs are. I would guess if he's, I think she said 8 years old.
8 years old.
I would guess that you probably want as many hours as humanly possible around the clock. So that would be a lot of hours, not just 29, but intensive hours. And yes, it would probably be better for him to have it all through the year. But I really can't make that distinction because I know nothing about your child. So if you haven't, you must have an ABA supervisor. And that's the person who should be making the recommendation. And as I said, I'm coming to find that there are a lot of ABA people out there who just kind of water it down and just do ABA here and there on the side. You know, always make sure your provider is someone who sets really high-level goals for your child, because the more we push our kids, the more they're able to do. And the less we push them, the less they do. I mean, just like anyone else. So...
And, you know, to me, there's like three different categories of ABA providers. There are people who hung out a shingle because they saw that this was the thing and that there was going to be money in it for the next foreseeable future, decade, whatever. Right. And they don't really know what they're doing. And they're fine. They're learning as they go along, but they're fine with not knowing what they're doing.
Right.
Then I think there's a group of people who I think know what the prescription is, mm-hmm. but they don't give it to parents. And when I ask them, why are you not giving the prescription? Why did you look at this child who's 4 years old and write them a prescription for 15 hours right. when you know perfectly well
or
that that's
Shannon,
unethical?
Or Shannon, 2 hours,
oh,
3 hours. I'm seeing so much of that. I'm so shocked that
right.
people are doing like 2 hours of ABA.
And what gets said back to me from these people with soulful, you know, tearful eyes is, well, I just know what the insurance will pay for, and I didn't want to get the parents' hopes up.
Right.
I didn't want them to be crushed. I know how hard it is for them, so I wrote the prescription for what the insurance company would give. To which I say to those people, that is so wrong.
Right.
If your child was diagnosed with a brain tumor, would you want the doctor to tell you what the best prescription
exactly.
was?
Exactly.
Or would you want the doctor to tell you what the insurance company was going to pay for?
Right.
You would sue that doctor if they just said what the insurance company would pay for. But these people don't have a backbone. They don't want to tell you the truth because they don't want to have to cause you the pain of knowing that you're going to have to fight to get what your child
needs. Well, yes, and of course the ABA provider then has to support your fight, right?
Right.
I was just reading actually an appeal letter that one of our supervisors had written for a family. It was so good.
Mm-hmm.
It was so well written. I had to write the supervisor and say, good job. Like,
yeah.
That's a great letter. But, I mean, you get involved with this appeal. But
right.
aside from, I mean, that's definitely present. For sure, there are people who won't have the backbone to step up and say, this is what you need, and I'll help you fight for it.
Yeah.
There's also people out there who are, unfortunately, they're even board certified in behavior analysis, and they will absolutely, just because they don't understand what ABA is all about and the capability of our children, they will recommend 5 hours a week. There's that happening out there as well, which is pretty scary.
Which is nutty.
So, you know...
But then there's the third type of provider, which is what CARD is, which is they're going to write the prescription. So I want to go back because she wrote back in and said, yes, my son is at the center.
Okay, great.
For the school year. But so
okay.
here, I want to go back because I looked at the question again.
So she's just asking about summer versus school year.
Well,
I think.
The school year, my understanding is the school district is paying for 29 hours a week during the school year, but during the summer, they're saying they're only paying for half.
That's
because,
what she's asking.
Because they would be on summer break, and most kids, if they're doing summer school, they would have to pay for less.
Right, right.
And so I want to say, yeah, ask the school for the whole thing, but even if the school won't pay for the whole thing, we should be looking at other funding sources to get more.
I would say that. I mean, historically, what I'm looking at is, you know, it's actually pretty good if your school is paying anything
yeah.
for the summer, to be honest, because they do have a case in terms of saying, hey, in the summer, generally speaking, we don't have to pay for anything. But we used to fight that argument, and we'd get up to, like, let's say 50 out of the 52 weeks paid. I think you have good funding from your district. That's pretty good. I think you should be looking at your insurance to supplement this funding. In fact, during the school year, I would recommend that you increase your hours and have the additional hours funded by school district by your insurance.
Yes.
So you can have two sources of funding. And don't forget, the stuff that is funded through the school district will not be everything. Often school districts don't want to allow the provider to work on adaptive skills, for instance, or things that have to do with the home. So, you know, if you get insurance funding, it broadens what you're allowed to use that money for anyway. So I think that's where you should be going. Hopefully you have health insurance. I mean, right now Medicaid covers it as well. So that's what I would do.
Yeah. And just to clarify, there's a kind of newer law that says that school districts have to pay if you can prove that your child will regress more than 20%, they do have to pay for some summer school.
Summer
but it's
school,
not,
exactly.
But it's not the full amount of what the...
That's what we always used to fight for, was
right.
regression will happen.
Exactly. But getting another funding source on board will not the school may, if they find out, which you don't need to necessarily run a flag up and tell them, may say, oh, well, we're not responsible for all this. And CARD can help you to fight and say, well, this category goes in here. But get as many hours as you can. And there are multiple funding sources.
Absolutely.
But good on you that you've got the school on the hook for this. You're
very
doing good.
Good.
Now let's get your insurance company on the hook for it as well. And I'm looking at time. We're out of time.
I know, but before we go real quickly, I just read a question that was very quick to answer.
Yes.
If we could do that one. And this
Absolutely.
Is the one that says, my son is 5 years old, will be six in November of this year. He's getting center-based ABA services 30 hours a week. We're planning for him to skip kindergarten this coming school year and focus on ABA. My question is, what are the things we should be prioritizing when making the decisions? And that is just really, really simple. You go to Skills. And that's what Skills is all about.
Yeah.
You will go to skillsforautism.com and you'll answer a whole bunch of questions about your child, and it will give you every program that you need to do for your child.
So specifically for
your
child.
Very, very specifically what your child needs, and it'll tell you the order. It'll show you which one is easier, harder, what your prerequisites are. It'll go across every area of functioning. So do Skills. That's what it's exactly for what you need,
and
it'll get you going.
There's even one whole section of the curriculum that's academics that can entirely replace and have your child completely ready for whatever kindergarten,
absolutely.
First grade, second grade. And that's just one of the eight curricula areas, so it's pretty impressive. Thank you for bringing that up and getting that, squeezing that in.
There you go. Yeah, if you want to hear more about it on, we only played for a little bit of it. So if you want to continue listening to most of the questions, you can go to YouTube, search word Ask Dr. Doreen for September 7th, 2016.
Yeah.
And of course, you can visit the website, centerforautism.com.
Yeah. They seem to be a pretty good organization. Mm-hmm. They have lots of help for people. So yeah,
absolutely. What's next to our the month of September? Do you have anything in mind?
Well, I'm trying to. I want to have, of course, Laura Guzman come on and talk about what happened in Nicaragua and South America with Operation Smile.
Okay.
There is also a celebrity guest that I want to try to get on.
Mm-hmm.
And as I get closer to actually getting that person on, I'll explain more about who they are.
Mm-hmm.
It was a connection through Valerie Shepard, the author I told you about, learning to just to be happy with who you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's a connection that she has. She made the basic introduction, so I just need to follow up on it and actually get the person in here. But we'll be talking about Parkinson's.
Oh, yes, the Parkinson's disease.
Yes. And as we know, there's a couple of celebrities that have had Parkinson's, and there's a few others that I actually didn't know about that have fallen by the wayside, like Linda Ronstadt and Maurice White and some other celebrity singers that have gone by. And of course, since we're here in NBC, our big star is of course Michael J. Fox,
right?
And we might actually have a connection to even get Mr. Fox on our show. So I just need to follow up with some people on that also.
Should be fun.
Yeah, that would be really fun. To, local hero.
I love his movies.
Yeah,
Back to the
I know. I know. It's like, I was a big fan of him from, Family Ties?
That too.
You know.
Marty, we gotta get back into the future.
Yeah,
that should be fun.
It should be a lot of fun. But
yeah.
No promises on Michael J. Fox.
No,
but
of
you know,
not. But it'll be a lot of fun.
It could happen. It's somebody that I know who actually kind of loosely stays in touch with him, and they went to school with him.
Right.
So yeah. Okay. So who knows? But Parkinson's that's a really big impact.
It is.
One of the people that I really admired growing up as an athlete was Muhammad Ali.
Mm-hmm.
And Grady, he was a great fighter and everything, mm-hmm. and, you know, and boxer and all that kind of stuff, very right. talented that way. But it was how articulate he was.
Mm.
And to watch it, as time went by,
mm-hmm.
to watch it disappear.
Right.
You can't convince me that, oh, well, that articulation isn't still there, and that person's still not trying to be that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the body's not cooperating.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so, you know, and the same with Michael J. Fox.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a very articulate person, a very talented actor mm-hmm. and performer. You know, I'm sure there's still a lot that he wishes he could do. It's just that, hey, my body won't cooperate.
Mm.
And it's like, so it's one of the things is like, what is that? Get inside of that.
Mm.
You know, when talking to these people, mm. it's like, you know, there's got to be emotion behind loss of use of this. And there's got to be, hey, this is how I'm fighting back, though. Right. Mm. And that's one of the other importance of having these people on is like, hey, so this happened. Now, right. what are we doing about it, right? Mm.
Our email address is communitylivingradio@gmail.com. If you have any questions or comments about our show, we are also on Twitter at KC Living Radio, and we're also on Facebook, Community Living Radio Show. Thank you very much, Michael.
Thank you.
And we will be back again next week.
Yeah.
Same time, same station. On the program, if you have a Discorder as of September, which is I've got flattering on my on the radio. The next show is A Face for Radio. Stay tuned for that on CITR 101.9 FM. See you all next week. Bye for now. Bye, Michael.
Bye.
Take care.
Listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Doing? This is Sean from Youth Brigade. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.